Good morning, Ignacio Community Church, and happy Mother's Day to all our mothers out there watching this morning. Again, your celebration of Mother's Day looks very different than it has in the past, as we're not able to meet as a church, and I doubt anybody's going to be able to take you out to lunch today. Hopefully your husbands will be and your children are cooking meals for you today. But let's just open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to talk about Mother's Day and honor you this morning. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that we can gather even virtually through the media. I thank you that our congregation is able to continue to stay connected even if it's not in person. And we pray that very soon we'll be able to meet again as a congregation to worship you and to fellowship together. And I pray for our mothers. I pray that you would bless all of our mothers today. And Lord, as we speak of motherhood today and the importance and the role that it plays, that it would encourage and challenge our mothers and our parents, all the dads as well, as they raise their children. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for many of you mothers over the past 2 months, you've been 24/7 with your kids. And for some of you, you're ready to escape your children and you're ready to get some social distancing that everybody else is complaining about. For some of the others of you, you found a new normal that works. And I've actually talked to some of you about it. And life is actually less stressful, not having the rat race chasing your children everywhere with every kind of activity and event. But with that being said, for all of us, I think in this current situation we're living in, it gives us an opportunity to evaluate our lives and make the changes needed with the Lord's wisdom in order to accomplish His purposes that He has for us. And so I want to begin this morning by asking parents a very important question that hopefully you've already been meditating on. But when your children leave home as adults, what kind of people will they be? You know, they've said if you don't have a target, you're sure to miss it. And I think if we don't have a clear goal in mind of what we want our children to be when they grow up, it's going to be very difficult to guide them to a good place. You need to be intentional when you raise your children. And I believe that the present situation we're living in gives us an opportunity to press the reset button and to be able to look at our lives and make the changes necessary. And I think that's especially true for parents as they're raising their children. One of the biggest changes we've seen take place in the last 2 months, as schools have shut down and our workplaces have shut down, is the influence on our children. Where the schools used to be a major influence and social media and all the children, all their friends and everything else was a big influence. I believe that parents have the opportunity to be the most influential on their children this day and time. And I believe that that was God's design for the family from the outset. Parents should be the primary influencers of their children's lives, not the world. And so as influencers, the Bible gives us some specific commands to parents about raising their children. And we've seen that as we've studied the book of Joshua. We have referred to a passage in Deuteronomy on several occasions. And I want to look at it from a little different situation today as we look at it. But this is one of the most important verses in all the Old Testament. It was called the Shema, and it was quoted many, many times. And again, these were commands that were given to Joshua's generation just before they entered into the promised land. Look at what they were commanded in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your houses and on your gates. As we look at this passage, and I want to really talk about this part of the verses, one of the things you see that stands out is time. And that is parents spending time with their kids. Again, look at it. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at the home and when you're going on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Again, with the days that we're living now in the present situation, I think a lot of parents are having a lot more ability to do this with their children. And they're able to have a lot more influence with what their children are reading and watching on TV and on the internet. And they're able to observe their parents in their lives. I see children working with their fathers and mothers, and they're spending a lot more time with their children in the home. Several business phone calls that I've made over the last couple of months, I will hear children in the background as the people are working from home. And it just cheers my heart when I see that and I hear that, even though it may be more difficult for the parents. Even one of the workers that here worked on the church brought his seventh grade son to work with him, and he helped him with the work here. And I just think that is a wonderful thing that we're seeing changed in the influence of our children as they spend time with their parents. And I hope that that's a permanent change that this pandemic will bring about, that parents will spend a lot more time with their children and in what they're doing and how they're raising them and being able to impart to them. But if we look at the question, there's just how important is our influence on guiding our children's lives? Just how important are we to be? The book of Proverbs gives us some really good information about raising children, and it talks about how we're to do it and why it's so important. Unfortunately, the book of Proverbs is best known for a quote, and it's actually not fully in there, but it's spare the rod and spoil the child. And again, a lot of times it talks about the rod in the book of Proverbs. But if we really understand what the book of Proverbs is talking about, there's an underlying truth that we see that comes out of Proverbs chapter 22. Listen to what it says here. It says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. In other words, if children are left to themselves to grow up, the predictable outcome is going to be that of shame. It's going to be unruliness. It's going to be rebellion. And we see this in another verse in Proverbs. It says, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. You see, children need discipline in their lives to help them develop character, wisdom, morals, and ability to live properly. Children who are not directed, who are not disciplined, will most likely not get these qualities, and they will most likely end up disgracing themselves and their parents, as this verse states. The discipline of this verse, however, does not just refer to a rod, and the rod is certainly not a cure-all in itself. Matter of fact, the rod can be very destructive when taken to an extreme and ministered without love. It should be one part of a reasonable approach of training children with wisdom that parents need to utilize while raising their kids. What the rod does show us, though, is if we think that children will independently make good decisions and think independently for themselves apart from direction from the parents, they will most likely not do well. This is the premise behind another verse in Proverbs that says, physical discipline may well save them from death. You see, from this verse here, it talks about a child who doesn't have any discipline in our lives and are able to run wild. And we see that in many cases with people who are incarcerated or people who die young, is they've not had that discipline and they've not had a parent to direct them. And as children of the Lord, the book of Hebrews really speaks of discipline that we all receive from the Lord. Look at what it says. My child. Now, who's my child? That is people who know the Lord, who are Christians. He says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And he goes on and says, a father who doesn't discipline his children don't love them. He really doesn't love them. And so we see that discipline is so important. Another analogy that the scriptures give us of not only parenting, but the Lord's discipline in our lives is that of a shepherd and sheep. The Bible talks about the Lord as our shepherd. Jesus called himself a shepherd. And a very familiar psalm that we talk about in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the shepherd will use his rod to keep the sheep from straying off or getting off the path. We often quote Psalm 23 and we don't really understand the implications of what we're seeing there. But look what it says in the middle of Psalm 23. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. See, the shepherd will use the rod to protect and comfort his sheep. But sometimes the shepherd protects the sheep from themselves with the rod of discipline. And so the Lord has given this great responsibility to parents, and it isn't to be delegated to others. This includes schools and the church, for that matter. They can help. But even though many people try to blame the outcome of our children on the society or the schools or the church, the primary responsibility rests with the parents. But even when parents give guidance, children often have to learn from the school of hard knocks. But unfortunately, the school of hard knocks can lead to permanent damage, either physically or emotionally. And again, sometimes it even leads to death. But true godly discipline will limit the need for this and will save our children from needless pain and suffering. And I don't know any loving parent who wants their children suffering needlessly. Again, loving parents never want their children to suffer needlessly. And so how do we raise our children? The parents' chief resource to raise their children should be the wisdom that comes from the scriptures, properly applied and demonstrated in the lives of the parents. And so the Bible is the most important resource for parents to raise their children. This is where the church can partner with parents and give good input in raising children. The example from the body of Christ and the influence other families in the body of Christ is crucial, as well as the teaching of the word. And I think that's what a lot of you are missing. I've talked to quite a few of you from the church, and you're ready to get back to meeting together and being a part of one another's lives. And we need that. And that is something that we've been missing during this time. And hopefully soon we'll be able to continue to gather as a church and be able to worship together when things loosen up and we're able to do that again. But see, when parents diligently train their children with the Bible gives some pretty cool outcomes for our kids. And though we should never take these verses as promises, some verses in the Bible are promises, but the Proverbs is a book of principles. But they give us general principles in both raising our children and the outcomes that they will produce. Look at a couple of verses from Proverbs on this. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Again, if we are diligent to train our children with the Word of God and the things of God as they're young, when they become adults, they will continue down that road. Another Proverbs says, discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. Again, I think about all the parents who've got children who've gone astray, and they don't have peace of mind, and their hearts are not glad. Their hearts are sorrowful and bitter. And again, I think when we raise our children properly, there's a much better outcome that will take place. And the word discipline in this verse has within it the concept of discipleship as we raise our children. We are to make disciples that are to love and follow the Lord. Paul speaks of the Bible's influence that it had in Timothy's life and how important it was for him as the life of his discipleship, and especially when he was young. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and what he says here. He says, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Again, he starts off this passage that Timothy had learned the Scriptures from early childhood, and they gave him the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes from trusting in Christ. The verses go on and say this: all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. You see, as parents, the first thing that you want the Scriptures to give your children is the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. That should be our first and most important goal as parents, is to see our children come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and to follow Him. But then the Scriptures will also be able to teach your children what is true, to realize what is wrong in their lives, to correct them when they are wrong, and to teach them to do what is right. You see, if we're diligent with our children in teaching them and give them the Scriptures, then the last part of that passage will also be true. God uses it, that's the Scriptures, to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So again, as parents, and we started off with the question of what do your children, you want your children to be when they grow up. I think as parents, your goal in raising your children when they leave their home, your home, should be that your goal as parents should be that your children love Jesus and are prepared and equipped to do every good work God has for them to accomplish. I reflect on raising our children. For those that know us, our children are all grown. We have four sons that are aged 25 to 40 years of age. And I look at their fruit in their lives now as grown men. And our boys have grown up to be godly, responsible adults. And though I wish I could go back and make some changes in raising them, overall I feel like that Sherry and I did a good job and made our priorities in raising them the right ones. And some of those priorities, including consistent church attendance. We raised our children in the church. We taught them the Scriptures at home. I was involved with Child Evangelism Fellowship when they were young, and they were part of a Good News Club that met every week, and they were a part of Awana when they were growing up. And so they were able to get a lot of extra things besides just being in church. They also had our example of loving, obeying, and trusting the Lord. We went through some very difficult times when they were younger and as they were growing up. We had a son that died, and they were all a part of that. And Nicholas was sick for many years with kidney problems. And they saw us trusting the Lord through all of that. Another thing we did when they were young is we homeschooled them. Not that that's for everyone, but we homeschooled them when they were young to get them grounded in their faith. And then when they did go to public schools, we were involved and connected with them throughout their schooling. And Sherry was a wonderful mother. to our sons, and she was a major part of the above list as we raised our children. And I'm so grateful for her diligence and the work she did with our children. Mothers are so important in raising their children and passing on the Christian faith. We mentioned Timothy a while ago, and Paul tells us in another passage where Timothy came to know the Lord. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "I remember your genuine faith." He's talking to Timothy here. "For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." See, Paul knew his grandmother and his mother and their faith. And they know, and he knows that that faith was passed down to Timothy and they taught him. And so I think the importance of a mother's faith in raising her children is immeasurable. We cannot make our children receive our faith. Each child must experience his or her own faith journey. But we can instill in our children the hope that we have in our Lord. This hope can blossom into a child's personal faith. And this is the incredible opportunity we have as parents, building our home as the Lord leads us. I want to encourage you with a few quotes as you are raising your children. And these are quotes about moms that we see from several sources. The first one comes from Billy Graham. He said this, "Only God Himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children." The next quote is from George Washington, our first president. "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." We have another quote from another president, Abraham Lincoln, and this is what he said. "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Again, speaking of his mother as an angel and the influence that she had on his life growing up. The next quote is from a very famous preacher from the 20th century, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said this, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." And again, all of these men see the influence that their mother had on them growing up. The last quote is from somebody from our modern time that many of you know, and that's Tim Tebow. You don't know him personally, but this is what he said. "For 25 years, she put her life on hold for me and my siblings. She invested in our lives. We were her number one priority, and nothing else really mattered." I would say this. I don't think that his mother put her life on hold for them. I think she was living out her life the way God intended her to live it. If you listened to the song list this morning that we sent out last night, the last song comes from a poem. And it's a very famous poem, and I've shared this on Mother's Day in the past, but I think it's a very apt poem. And I want to just read this poem with you this morning. And the name of the poem is "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is the Hand That Rules the World." Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide their streamlets, from them souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil, shun sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh, keep the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother loved imperiled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, father, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Sometimes I know being a mother can seem like a thankless job, but know that the Lord sees your work and your heart for your children as you work tirelessly to raise them. Know that also your investment is worth it. As we close this morning, I want to thank and bless all of you mothers who have given the time, attention, care, and love to their children. Happy Mother's Day. And I encourage each of you that to wish your mother a happy Mother's Day and thank her for all that she's done for you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for mothers. I thank you that you have in your divine creation created mothers to be that instrument from the time of conception, are there to nurture and raise their children. And I pray wisdom over mothers in these days. I know that many mothers are frustrated. They don't get a break. And I just pray that you would give them peace and patience and wisdom. And I pray that in these special days that we're living, that, Lord, the opportunity is there to impart the scriptures, the truths of the gospel, and all the things that you desire for the children to know. I pray that across our land and across the world, people are turning to your word and are imparting your word to our children, that they might know you as their Savior, know your ways, and follow you all the days of their lives. I also pray for those that are sick this morning, including many mothers, and I pray for healing on the COVID virus. I pray that you would give a cure to it, and I pray for our government that you would give them wisdom and how to navigate these difficult times, and help each of us to have wisdom as well, to know what we should do. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to close this morning with our benediction from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And let's just say this together as we close. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Just to give you a little bit of an update, I have been in contact with local authorities and looking at when we might possibly be able to worship again. And we're really waiting on what takes place in Denver with the governor and how he opens things up. I am meeting with the leadership. We met with the trustees this last week, and I'm meeting with the elders as well. And we will stay in contact with you. It would be wonderful if we could meet next week. That's a possibility. I don't know that it's a real possibility. I think it's still going to be a few weeks before we can meet. But we will be in touch with you, and we will be meeting together as soon as we can. The facility is ready to go, and we're anxious to be able to be here and show it to you and be able to worship the Lord with you. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy your day. And we look forward to seeing you all soon. God bless you.